From the campus of New Hope Christian College, welcome to Words of New Hope.
It's not a put-on, it's not a program, it's not a character that you kind of use. It's just who I am. That's my DNA. I am bought with a price. That's it. It's like I'm Japanese, Hawaiian, and Portuguese. That's just who I am. And if I go to some place and they say, we don't like Japanese, it's all right. That's who I am. Sorry, I can't change it. We don't like Hawaiian. Sorry. We don't like Portuguese. All right, now that's fighting words. That's fighting words. No. Sorry. That's joking. Sorry, that's just who I am.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope. When we left off yesterday, Pastor Wayne was describing some things in life that are not for sale. One of them is our will. God has given us a free will, even though it means that we have the ability to disobey Him. But if we will allow Him to shape us and mold us as He sees fit, we will become a vessel He can use for His kingdom. Here's Pastor Wayne with the conclusion of the message, Things Not For Sale.
We can receive gifts in 1 Corinthians 12, like miracles and faith and tongues and prophecy. That's a part of what the Holy Spirit has come to give us. But His primary reason is to give me the power to lay down my rights to override God and His commands. I'm going to need more help than what I got on my own. No, it'll include gifts, but that's the main one. If you don't understand that, then you can be a Pentecostal, but you will see even Pentecostals in the newspaper falling to immorality and all kinds of avarice and all kinds of weird stuff. And you think, now that's the dumbest thing to fall for. How come that happened? Because somewhere their will overrode God's commands. How did that happen? You see, you can be all filled with gifts, but if you misunderstand the power of the Holy Spirit and why He's been given to us, you'll wrestle with God whenever push comes to shove, and you'll never be free. So the first reason the Holy Spirit's been given to help us to remember that our soul is not for sale. It's not for sale at all. You say, really? Absolutely. Why isn't it for sale? I'll tell you why. Some time ago, I had a one-man canoe, and I was going on an extended trip, and I wanted to kind of clear out some stuff, and so I put that thing up for sale. It was worth about $2,700, but I put it up for $2,500 to get rid of it. Well, I advertised it in this little paper that paddlers look at a lot, and one lady came, drove in the driveway, and she looked at it for $2,500. It was a great boat, and she said, you know what? And she pulled out of her pocket a wad of $100 bills, 20 of them. And she said, I'll give you cash right now, $2,000, right now. My eyes got big, and I thought, all right, you got a deal. Well, she loaded up the boat, and off she went, and I had the wad of green. Now, not even an hour goes by, another guy pulls up with a pickup. And he says, I'm here to see the boat that you have for sale for $25, because that's the exact one I want. I said, oh, man, I just sold it less than an hour ago. He said, no way. I was going to give you not only full price, I was going to give you a check for $2,700, because that's what I've been looking for. I thought, no, don't say that. I thought, oh, no. He said, do you still have it for sale? I said, no, I'd love to sell it to you, but I can't because it's already sold. I'd love to sell it to you, but someone already bought it. Sorry. You see, our will can only be not for sale if it's already sold. If somebody already bought it. And Jesus came to purchase us by the blood that He shed on the cross. And when you understand that we are not our own, I've been bought with a price. That's just who I am. Sorry. So when temptation comes, if you understand that and the power of the Holy Spirit will remind you, you'll realize a freedom that you've never realized before. It's like, sorry. Well, I'll give you X amount of happiness. Sorry. Already sold. You see, there's a freedom that comes when you understand that your will is not for sale. If you think it is, you will wrestle the rest of your life. But the power of the Holy Spirit has come so that you just say, nope, I am his witness or his martyr in Jerusalem, Judea. In other words, wherever you are, that's who you are. It's not a put on. It's not a program. It's not a character that you kind of use. It's just who I am. That's my DNA. I am bought with a price. That's it. It's like I'm Japanese, Hawaiian, and Portuguese. That's just who I am. Sorry. And if I go to some place and they say, we don't like Japanese, it's all right. That's who I am. Sorry. I can't change it. If we don't like it, I'm sorry. We don't like Hawaiian. Sorry. We don't like Portuguese. All right. Now that's fighting words. That's fighting words. No. Sorry. Just joking. Sorry. That's just who I am. You understand? There is a freedom and a confidence that comes into your life when you realize that's who you are. That's your DNA. You wrestle with that identity, you will be wrestling the rest of your life. But when we come to the point where we realize that we're the children of God, bought with a price, the Holy Spirit's been given to us, and the power is for what? To give us the strength to lay down our right to override God, because we've been bought with a price. So then you say, okay, then if we lay down that will and receive a freedom so we don't have to wrestle, then we must be pretty weak-willed now. Because we've laid down our will. So we're spineless people. Is that what God wants? No. In fact, he doesn't want you to get weak-willed. He actually wants you to strengthen your will. What? Yeah, but for the right thing. Not to override God. You know what your will is? Just like an XO, he's to carry out the orders of the commander or the captain to make sure that whatever the crew tries to lobby for, he overrides them. Let me tell you what he's saying now. He's going to give us the power of the Holy Spirit to be weak-willed. No. One, to lay down our right to override God, but to pick up the right to override the flesh. The power to say no. So would you write in number two, the strength then, strengthen your will to override the flesh, not the Lord. Because you see, in the past, we would take our will to override God and submit to the flesh. It's the opposite. It's to submit to the Lord and override the flesh. That's what brings freedom. How do you get that switch? How do you get that exchange correct? Because before Christ, it was the other way around. I would override God, submit to the flesh. Well, to make that switch, you need the power of the Holy Spirit. That's greater than you are, because then that actually is not just a redecorating of your life. It's not just a redoing of your life. It is a full transformation, because if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have what? Passed away. Behold, all things have become new. It's a transformation. How do we get that way? Only by the power of the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, we'll wrestle. We'll wrestle with our flesh and we'll lose. And we'll feel terrible about it. So God says, I'll give you the power of the Holy Spirit. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you to be a martyr. How? To lay down your right to override God and to pick up and strengthen your will to override the flesh. Because we know as God's people, if we're too impetuous, as the scripture says, an inheritance gained hurriedly at the beginning will not be blessed in the end. And so we say, all right, God, would you help me to trust you so much that you wouldn't demean or deprecate us because of our frailty, but instead you'll give us a gift. And if we'll trust you and yield our will to you, then you will make us the people you want us to be, and there will be a freedom in life, a freedom. But I've got to remind myself every day when I come to that choice, no, Holy Spirit, give me again the power to lay down my right to override God's will. I won't do that. But I will override the flesh. And the strength and the power comes for us to do that. And then you begin to understand what it means to be a person led by the Spirit of God. Jeremiah 18 paints a little picture of that. And he talks about a potter's house. God said to Jeremiah, go to the potter's house and watch now how the potter, if the clay will submit to the potter will do everything that he wants to have happen. If, on the other hand, it rejects the potter, which it might have right to do, it's useless. What kind of clay are you? Take a look at this short video, and I think it will help us to solidify and maybe ask the question, what kind of clay are we in the potter's hands? Let's take a look.
There was a potter, and in this potter's studio, he had 3 lumps of clay. Now the first lump was hard. When the potter took this lump to his wheel and began to center the clay, it would not yield. The potter pushed, and the clay pushed back. The stubborn clay would not be centered. The potter was not about to fight this lump of clay, so he threw it into a bucket of water so that it might soften up. The second lump of clay was very soft. When the potter put this lump on his wheel, the clay centered easily. As he began to fashion it, the clay was so soft that it could not hold the shape it was given. It wavered and flopped till it finally collapsed. Then the potter took this pile of clay and put it aside so that it might firm up. The third lump of clay was not soft, yet neither was it hard. The potter brought this clay to his wheel, and without any resistance, it responded to the movement of his hands. Once centered, the potter began to raise out of this lump the shape of a pot. And the clay held this form firmly so that the potter might finish his work, shaping the clay according to his design.
A clay not hard towards the Lord, but open to Him. Hard towards the flesh, not soft towards that. A clay not hard, but not soft. And that's that balance that only the Holy Spirit can give to us. And when you understand that the power of the Holy Spirit has been given to help us to lay down our right to overrule God, so you won't have the struggles and the power to overrule the flesh. God understands that sometimes we're in that fight and we lose, not because we're evil, but because we're frail. And so He gives us a power beyond ourselves. He gives us a gift. And His love for us is so great that when you trust Him, you watch and see what He has in store. He's waiting on us. Let me finish with a story that I love so much. It's about a boy that carved a boat. He spent days carving this boat, meticulously handcrafted it, painted it, put little sails on it, balanced it just right. And in the bow, he put his little initials on it. And after this thing was painted and beautifully done, he would actually sail it down the little streams and creeks by his house. And even when the tides or the waters would rise, that little boat would navigate itself and cut right through the currents. And he'd run downstream and pick it up and do it again and again. And we would spend hour upon hour with his beloved boat. One day, the rains were harder, stronger than normal. And the streams turned into some almost a torrential kind of flow, and he thought, my boat is still stronger than the currents, and And he'd run outside even in the rain and he'd sail that boat and it would cut right through the currents and stay upright all the way down. He'd run down, pick it up and let it go again. He was just so delighted in this boat. Well, right down the stream, there was a culvert that would be something that would go about, oh, maybe 10 or 15 yards and it would open up again. And so he thought, oh, let's just run this thing right through and I'll run to the other side of the culvert and retrieve it. So he let that boat go and it cut right into that culvert. He ran to the other end and waited and waited and waited. But his beloved boat never appeared. Frustrated, he thought, what am I going to do? He ran up to the front of it, to the back of it. He checked, he ran home, got a flashlight, looked on the inside, but to no avail. He had lost his boat. He walked home with discouragement. Sleep fled from him that whole evening. Well, about a week and a half, 2 weeks later, he was walking down his little town where in a dusty mercantile window was his boat being displayed. Quickly, he ran in and said to the owner, "Sir, that's my boat. You found it." He said, "It's for sale." "For sale?" He said, "That's my boat. I made it." He said, "For $18, it's your boat. That's what the price tag is on it." He said, No. I built that boat. I painted it. I even have my initials on the bow." He said, "Doesn't matter. Finders, keepers, losers, weepers. $18. "No," he said, "it's my boat. I made it. $18. A little boy just walked out so discouraged. But he wouldn't let discouragement win. Quickly, he said, "I've got an idea." And he went from house to house saying, "Can I sweep your porch? Can I rake your lawn? Can I wash your dog? You just tell me what to do." And he went from house to house and he garnered enough dollar bills and coins that after a day and a half, he had $18 in his old sock. And he went back to that mercantile store and put that on the counter and he said, "Sir, $18. I counted it twice." And that owner took out the coins and bills and counted each piece. And he said, "Yep, you're right, $18. He said, "All right, now you can take the boat." Well, that little boy scooped up that beloved boat of his and ran as far as he could away from that mean old man. And he sat under a tree and he hugged that boat and he said to the boat, "I'm going to take care of you better than you've ever been taken care of ever before. Because now I own you twice, because not only did I make you, I bought you back." And you see, when you understand that kind of love that God has for us, then you understand the importance of letting Him shape you. But we as humans don't have that power. For some reason, we want to grab onto the rice and not let it go. And so God doesn't demean us. He gives us the power of the Holy Spirit to help us to lay down our right to override God and pick up the strength to override the Spirit. And when you catch that, you're beginning to understand what it means to walk in the power of the Spirit of God. We want to be those people. Amen. Would you please bow your heads with me as we conclude? You know, I never want to pass up an opportunity for those who would say, "You know, Wayne, that's exactly what I need. My will has been reigning supreme and it just gets me in trouble and I wrestle and I fight. I need the captain of my soul to get on board." God, would you come into my heart? Because I know I need your rulership. I need forgiveness, and I want to submit to you. And that's what the Bible means about being born again or receiving Christ as your Lord and Savior so that all things are new, not just redecorated, transformed. And God requires your willingness for that to take place. Because He doesn't come on board our ships by force, put us under duress. No, it's only by invitation. Oh, He'll knock. As the Bible says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. But if anyone hears my voice and opens the door. So he waits for an invitation. But when we invite Christ to be our Lord and Savior, then he comes in and he gives us the power to be able to lay down our right to override him and receive strength to override the flesh. And things begin to change. If you're here and you say, you know, Wayne, I've never received Christ into my heart. I mean, I've gone to church and all, and I even know about religion. But, you know, I've not done that. And I know I need to. I want to accept his invitation to follow him. And I want to invite him into my heart and receive him as Lord and Savior. If that's you right now, would you raise a hand? In doing so, you're saying, yes, I want Jesus to come into my heart. Okay? And I want him to be my Lord. All right, you too. And to be my Savior. Okay? Yep. All right. Okay. Good. Okay. Yep. All right. Yep. You too. You too. Yeah. You can put your hands down. And if you're here and you say, you know, Wayne, I'm a Christian, but I tell you, I wrestle all the time with God. It gets me into trouble. And I end up thinking, you know, I really do love God, but why am I always being defeated by the flesh and temptation? Lord, would you fill me afresh with your Holy Spirit? Give me the power to lay down my right to overrule you and give me strength to override the flesh. Holy Spirit, would you do that? Fill me. If that's your heart and your desire, would you raise a hand and say, yeah, Holy Spirit, would you fill us afresh? Fill us afresh. Baptize us. Fill us completely with your power. Yeah. Let's all pray this prayer together. And if this is the first time you're praying it as a brand new Christian, outside there are yes packets. Please pick one up. It's free of charge. An usher or someone at one of the tables will give you one. In it is a Bible and some follow-up material. But all of us, let's pray this together. And let's ask the Holy Spirit to fill us afresh. Would you pray this after me? Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Fill us afresh with the power from on high so that we might walk with you in fellowship and not in wrestling. Thank you for the power to lay down my right to overrule you, but to be strengthened, to be able to overrule the flesh. I open my heart to your commands. And now I say this so everyone hears, so you can hear me, so I can hear myself, and so the devil can hear. Jesus Christ is my Lord. He is my Savior. I belong to him. In Jesus' name I pray. And can we all say together, amen?
Amen.
Welcome these who made that decision to follow Christ.
You have just heard the conclusion of a message entitled Things Not For Sale by Pastor Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Thank you for listening. Now you can listen to Words of New Hope anytime on demand. Just go to www.spreaker.com and search on Words of New Hope. That's Spreaker, S-P-R-E-A-K-E-R.com. Stream the message or download it to your mobile device and listen on the go. And with a click of a button, you can share Words of New Hope on Facebook, Twitter, or your other social media and help us spread the good news of Jesus Christ to family and friends. That's www.spreaker.com and search on Words of New Hope. Now available 24/7, 365. Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you a great day in the Lord and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.